Every Lenovo is built to let them go. Let them work and rework. Let them animate a dinosaur. No, a toaster. No, a hamster in a jetpack. Fine. Let them color correct anywhere and everywhere. Let them make. Powered by Intel Core Ultra processors, Lenovo gives creatives everything they need. Catch the best deals of the year during Lenovo's Black Friday sale. Shop now at Lenovo.com. Lenovo.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the RC Flying Lad podcast. I am Ron.
And I'm Dave.
And there's no Tommy.
Ghost Tommy.
What happened? No, so honestly, we almost didn't have an episode this week. We're bad at timing.
Trying to get three of us in a five-day span is not happening.
Well, okay, so today is July 4th.
Happy 4th, everybody.
Happy 4th of July to all of our American listeners. Nobody else cares. But anyway, so we had planned on recording, like we always record day before the release kind of thing. And not that it matters to many people. We tried to do that this week, which was yesterday. I was busy yesterday. So then we tried to pull it forward to Wednesday. We were all good for Wednesday for a bit. And then both Tommy and Dave had to drop out.
Yeah, I had to get a big trailer moved.
To where they suggested Tuesday, which I was, there was no way I could do it Tuesday. I think we suggested Monday also, which Tommy was busy Monday.
Yeah, one of you guys was out on Monday.
And then we just suck at it, so.
So and Tommy disappeared, and here
Tommy
we are.
Tommy is gone. It's just you and I, Dave. And we're going to make it work.
Sure.
Attaboy. That's the spirit. Yeah, so like I said, this whole week just snuck up. It was weird.
Just timing bad for everybody all week.
We need to remember, not that we will, but we need to remember on days that we have like Fridays and stuff as a holiday, it usually means we're busy that week.
Yeah. Yep.
So, but it's nice. I took yesterday off. We have a four-day weekend.
Oh.
I'm planning on.
Look at you.
I know, right? We'll talk about that in a little bit, but it was a good day.
Keep getting emails at work going, you're maxing out on your time. You need to take time.
I've never gotten one of those, and I don't plan on ever getting one.
Yeah, like that's going to happen. How am I going to take some time off here, guys?
You do what you got to do. That's why my wife was off this week, too, because she had to use it or get paid out. But
at least you have that option.
She does.
I take the payout. I need the money.
Oh, no. I take the time off. I'd rather enjoy my time and not be at work.
Well, you know. I just can't, because otherwise we'd have patients just sitting out in the hallway going, I know.
Well, that's on them, not you.
Yeah, my heart's going to blow up, but that's fine.
That's on them, not you. They got to find somebody. Anyway, one of the things I want to talk about really quick is Patreon has a new feature for us. I don't know how all this works, but we now have our own RSS feeds for our patrons. And what that means is that if you're a patron, you can add our Patreon feed to your favorite podcast app and get it that way, okay, as opposed to getting it through Patreon direct and downloading and doing all that kind of stuff. That's a little bit easier. It's a good way to get it without ads and usually earlier, but not on this episode.
No, I don't see how it could be any earlier.
But anyway, something to check out, patreon.com/RCPlaneLab. What else? New planes. There's a couple new planes out.
I'm really kind of thinking about this one. The only thing that's holding me back is the brand, but I know this manufacturer is reboxed under other names as well, but it is the X-Fly C-17 Globemaster 3.
So I'm going to be honest. X-Fly is one of the F-18s I bought.
Right.
So I bought the X-Fly and I bought the FMS F-18. I'm a much bigger fan of the X-Fly. It's very well put together.
I've seen some of their stuff. It's pretty decent.
Yeah, I'm impressed with it compared to some of the other ones that are out there. At least with the F-18.
Yeah, this one looks nice. I've seen some videos of it flying. It looks like it's got a ton of power for a smaller ducted fan plane. It's got four, what are they, 40 millimeters? Yeah. I got my glasses on. Everything's blurred. Give me just a second here.
Poor Dave.
Oh, God.
You can do this. You can do this.
God, I've got bifocals, and they're so far out of whack. It's four channel. It uses, what was it, a three cell or a four
cell? No, it's four cell.
Four cell, 2600 to 4000 battery. And I've seen them flying them with like 3800s, and doesn't look like there's hardly any difference at all. It has fixed landing gear, but they're so close and small that it doesn't really seem visible in flight that much.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really bother me.
Did you say this is the C-17?
C-17 Globemaster 3.
Okay. It's a good good-looking plane.
Yeah. And it looks like it would not be too hard to convert it to having a functional cargo door.
Come on, Dave. You have to change everything. Now, would there be room inside for anything? It's a small plane.
Actually, it's already a hatch built into the plane back there. There is a ton of room inside there.
Oh, okay.
From what I've seen on the videos, I personally haven't poked and prodded one, but...
Yeah. You've looked at them more than I have, then.
It looks pretty decent. Aerobatic, flight.
You need to have that. Yeah.
Loops and rolls with a cargo plane. That's always that's always a plus.
Does it hover?
I don't think it hovers, but its vertical climb rate is steep.
Impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
So it looks like a fun little job, and it's only $319.
Yeah. Just remember that doesn't include the receiver.
I never even think about that because everything I buy doesn't typically come with a receiver, so I don't even think about it. So sorry, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. But no, it's a good looking airplane. I like seeing more planes like this come out.
Yeah, and grass field ops are really nice on it, it looks like,
mm-hmm.
even with the tiny wheels. I think it just slides on its belly more
pretty
than
much.
Anything.
Yeah.
So that is the X-Fly C-17 Globemaster.
That's cool. I also saw Horizon came out with a re-release of their Champ. I don't have all that information in front of me. I forgot it, but I think it was... Oh, what was it? The little bind and fly is 119, if I remember, and the ready to fly is 150. Yeah. I think they're doing some 40th anniversary re-releases of some of their old stuff. So I saw that.
Update electronics in it. And
pretty much.
Yeah.
Probably the exact same airplane, but just something to call it new.
It is technically four channel, but it's really three because it doesn't have ailerons. The fourth channel is for the safe mode.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
But mildly aerobatic. It'll do rudderbatics, so.
And I've never flown one, so. I've seen a ton of them, but never flown one.
Yeah, I've never flown one either. It's cute little airplane if you're into small civil airplanes and want something small and cheap.
Yeah. Good way to get into it, I guess. So we've had a lot of wind recently. It's died down, like, the last few days, but.
And replaced with 90% humidity.
It's thick out there, Dave. It really is.
Tell me about it. I've been trying to paint in this weather, and it's just not working for me.
What are you painting?
I am painting a rebuild. It's an older fly zone aircraft. I've got I can't really tell if it's a fiberglass cowl or just a really stiff ABS cowl. Or it might have some fiber in it. I'm not sure. But I've been trying to repaint it, and I'm on my third round. I've stripped it twice already. So humidity is not my buddy right now.
Ouch, that sucks.
Yeah, I might as well be trying to paint this thing underwater.
Takes a while to dry, huh?
Well, I'm trapping moisture under the paint because the paint comes out of the can, as you know, as a vapor will cool rapidly and it draws moisture. So as soon as it hits the cowl, the cool paint sucks water out of the sky and blisters my paint.
Yeah, that sucks.
And I don't really want to be painting in the house if I can avoid it with Rust-Oleum, but I might have to resort to that.
Box fan sucking it out.
Yeah, it actually does a really good job. I've got a two fan unit that fits in the window, and it does a pretty good job, but I've got a bird in the house, so I'm really touchy about.
Oh, didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Like a...
Birds are super sensitive.
That's why they use them in the coal mines.
Yeah. Well, he's 31 years old now, so I...
How long do birds live?
Well, some of them can live up to, like, 80 years old. This is a cockatiel.
Oh.
The oldest known cockatiel on record I believe I've seen is 32, and mine is 31. So he's elderly.
So next year this won't be a conversation we have to worry about.
Probably. Either that or I'll be holding a record.
Sorry, that's terrible. Pain away, Dave. It's okay.
And his name is Huey. Huey Bird. Like Huey Helicopter Bird.
Oh, God. Whew, okay. Anyway. Well, good. At least you're getting something done.
Yeah, we're getting some work done. A lot of time with a vinyl cutter, cutting decals and things like that. So
that's always fun.
Yep. Looking forward to seeing the project finished. Every time I do something to it, it's like, ooh, that's looking pretty nice. Pretty nice.
Yeah. Getting closer and closer.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I did a little bit of work too. So I finally, since it was so crappy outside, and since we just had the glider tow event at Eli and I saw that, I did get a little bit more done on my big glider. It's one panel at a time is like all I can do because
one panel at a time is like an entire model.
Well, that's true. It's big, but like, honestly, it is every panel has something that needs to be done to it before you can cover it and call it done. So, excuse me. One panel at a time is like my mental load that I can work on one and then move on to the next one. Because it's like, if you look at the whole thing, it's very overwhelming.
It's like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Exactly. So one of the biggest issues I ended up having with the main inner wing, the right wing panel, it had gotten, I don't know if it was like water damage. I don't know. Like, everything that I'm seeing on here looks like it's just storage damage. Like, it's been stored for I don't know how long. I don't know how many people have had it. And it seems to have been treated roughly in that storage stage on a few pieces that are broken, a few pieces that are cracks. And, you know, there's everyone, like I said, needs something to be touched. But anyway, so this one, the inner wing cord root, whatever you call it, the plywood header, what do you call the piece I'm talking about?
Plywood main rib.
So the plywood main rib that goes against the actual airplane itself.
Or root rib, excuse me.
Root rib. Had delaminated. The very outside edge of the plywood had come apart. Not the inside, just the outside. And it was like missing half of it. Right. Everything else, like I checked everywhere else, you know, you can tell usually how well a glue joint is by tapping on things and listening for different tones and stuff. Nothing sounded like it was loose under it, like the glue joints were still there except for that outer one. So I'll explain what I did, and then I'll ask what I should have done. And this might have been something I should have done asking these questions before I did it. However, this is where we are. So it was just the outside part of the plywood.
So the first lamination.
First lamination. And I actually don't know how thick the whole thing was. I didn't even pay attention.
It looks like it's 32nd based on your scrap here.
Well, just that outer layer, but I don't know how thick the actual piece.
Oh, the whole rib?
The whole rib was.
Okay.
So anyway, I ended up peeling or scraping that whole layer off and got it down to where that outer piece of laminate was gone. I ended up having to sand it down just a little bit to make sure everything was nice and flat. And there are a lot of holes in that needed to be obviously lined up just right so that you could put your
run your spars and all that stuff
through it. So I couldn't quite figure out exactly how I wanted to do it. It's too big for the laser cutter because it's the cord is huge on this thing.
That's a good 18 inches.
Yeah, give or take. So it's bigger than the laser cutter, so I couldn't do that. So what I ended up doing is I kind of remembered way back in grade school, we would do crayon rubbings. You remember doing that when you were a kid?
This is actually a method I use all the time to duplicate parts. Yes.
Okay. So I feel like, well, maybe I'm not as smart as I thought.
I don't use a crayon because I'm not a 4-year-old, but.
What do you use?
Pencil.
Oh. Well, the crayon worked great and I do have a kid, so we had broken crayons around what I was able to do. So anyway, I just laid out one of the wider pieces of paper that I had on top of it, used the side of the crayon to mark out the exact copy of what I needed to do, transfer that over to what I used was 16th inch balsa, which was very easy to work with, which was nice. And then I ended up not cutting everything out until it was actually laminated to the end. So I actually had the piece on and big, and then I ended up cutting it, I cut it wide with an X-Acto knife around the outside and sanded it down to match. Yeah. And then the inside parts, I ended up using, just an X-Acto knife to kind of X out and then
start your hole and then.
Right. And then sanded that with a, piece of sandpaper wrapped around a dowel rod. And then, I mean, I think the end turned out really good.
The way you make replacement parts, yeah.
Well, I didn't know. So good. I figured that all on my own. So
I've actually got a piece of artist graphite for, I don't know if you've seen the fancy people draw on the paper with the big chunk of graphite.
Yeah.
So basically it's the guts of a pencil without the wood part.
Oh, okay. But a crayon also works, and you don't have to talk about using an artist graphite and sound stuck up.
Elevate the art, buddy.
No, but so that's good. I ended up, like I said, I glued it all back together with wood glue before I did the final sanding. Part of it looked like it had been almost crushed a little bit, like somebody
dropped on its edge or something.
Yeah, something like that. So I did have to cut some of the wood out a little farther back and then build that up so it would be even with the airplane itself where it mated.
Right.
But like I said, other than that, I think it turned out.
It looks great.
Yeah.
Only thing I would have done different is I would have fiberglassed it just to make sure everything is laminated and give it a hard edge. So if it does get dropped again, it doesn't ding as bad.
Didn't think of that. Now it's all covered. So by fiberglass, what do you mean? Just put
fiberglass resin.
Oh, no cloth or just resin?
It depends. I probably would have put a layer of 16th inch or the lightweight cloth on there. Oh God, I swear I've had a stroke at some point. I would have put just because I have a ton of it, I would have put some lightweight 3/4 ounce glass cloth on it. And then, I typically would use epoxy resin because it doesn't smell nearly as bad as polyester resin, but either way.
And then that would be a lot more difficult than to sand down, although you're probably talking thin, so it wouldn't be bad. But would you have done the lamination like I did, cut it all out, and then done the fiberglass over top?
Correct.
Of it?
Okay. I would have glassed over top of it after it was perfectly fit and finished, and then all you have to do is just touch up the glass.
Okay.
Around the edges.
Okay.
No biggie. Well, just a little more dent and ding and boost the strength a little bit.
Well, hopefully this will not be. Well, yeah.
It won't be around that long.
What's that supposed to mean? No, it will be, hopefully. Well, I have an event every year that I will have to fly it at, so it'll be a once-a-year airplane, and that's okay.
You'll get tired of storing it.
That might be. I'm not going to lie. That might be. No, I don't want to. We'll see. Maybe. I don't know. So what else? What else did I have written down? Because I knew we were going to be light today. Oh, so I went through. I finally, once again, since it was crappy outside, went through all of my batteries. I ended up figuring out what I had, because, you know, I have a list of batteries, but they might not have always been updated when I got new ones and got rid of old ones and all that stuff. So I ended up going through stuff. I disposed of, take a guess, because I haven't told you how many. How many batteries did I get rid of, Dave?
15.
No, 31 batteries. And this is all the way from small 1S, like 150s, all the way up to 6S.
You got
6S.
Rid of more batteries than I own.
Well, maybe. They were bad, though. Like I said, from the small ones all the way up to, I think I got rid of 2 6S 5200s. And like I said, there were some that I had bought that hadn't been updated on the spreadsheet. So Piper and I went through stuff. She helped me. She was very good at numbering them. I printed out the new numbers for the new ones and all that kind of stuff. And somewhere, somehow along the way, I had lost a 3S 2200. Like, I had no clue where it was. I figured perhaps
in a fuselage somewhere.
Well, so 3S2200 is what I use in the fuel jug for the jet.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, okay, I must have just left it in there. No big deal. I went out and looked. It wasn't in there. So I had no idea. Like, honestly, it had just flipped my mind. Couldn't figure out where it was. Long story short, I ended up going to Eli to fly some stuff. And one of the things I took with me was the Ultra Stick, not the slow Ultra Stick, but the Balsa one, the mm-hmm. E-Flight one. And lo and behold, opened up the hatch to put a battery in, and there is my other battery.
Yep, that's where I usually find one. It's like, where is that? Where is it? Where is it? Oh, never mind.
Well, and I haven't flown that one for several months. So luckily, it was still at storage charge. It would automatically go to storage charge because it was one of the smart ones. Yeah, but I found that and in good shape. So I don't remember how many batteries I have now, but I'm officially all smart batteries. I got rid of all the other ones. Now, I take that back. There is one of the smaller ones that you could get in the smart batteries that I don't have. It's not smart.
I have none. So,
yeah, it's, you know, it's the conversation we've had before, to each his own. I like the fact that I literally can go to the field with two, maybe three batteries for that airplane, you know, any airplane I fly, and it will be charged and I will be going back to back to back if I wanted to.
Yeah, that's nice.
I mean, I pulled the, I'm trying to think what it was, the 3S, well, it was a 3S22 because it was for the night flyer, slow ultra stick last night. It was a last minute thing, decided to fly something. I threw it on the charger. I think it was 8 minutes and it was charged.
Man, that's from storage awfully charge. Hard on the battery.
I mean, they're more expensive, but I need less of them.
Yeah. Works for you. It works for you.
Yeah.
I still charge everything at 1C, whether it says I can charge at 10C or not.
So. See, I don't have the patience for that.
It's like I don't want to hurt anything. I don't want anything exploding on me. So I've always charged at 1C, and I will always charge at 1C. I've got nothing but time.
See, I'm the opposite. I don't want to be stuck waiting for batteries to charge. I mean, that's a pet peeve of mine, just I want the limiting factor to be me. You know what I mean?
I gotcha.
Like, it's ready, but I don't want to, as opposed to, okay, I'm ready, but it's not.
I always just charge the night before. It takes me sometimes 3-4 hours to charge everything. And then I'll go to the field, and I might top off one or two batteries after a flight, just depending on what I'm flying. But that's – I'm good with that.
See, that's – yeah. Like, I don't have to prep anymore before I go.
Right.
Like, all my batteries are now – like I said, since they're organized, I have them organized in three bags. And so I know if I need big ones, grab this bag. If I'm not sure, grab all of them. You know, that way you have everything with you. Charger's in its own bag. Actually, it's two chargers in a case. Just grab it all. When I get there, that's the first thing I do is put the batteries on that I need. By the time I get unloaded, you know, get ready to go, they're ready.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
So, it's neat.
Work said, I know it's each his own, but I'm lazy. And yeah. And it was nice last night, even like, so yesterday was the July 3rd celebration thing at Eli. It's always an open house. We have a bunch of people, you know, from the community come in, food, drinks, watch fireworks, all that kind of stuff. It was busy and I did not have a chance to fly like I wanted to yesterday. So at the end of the day, like honestly, with everything that happened yesterday, the highlight of the day was it was about 10:30-ish or so, and everybody was gone. It was just Crystal and I. We were packing stuff up, doing a little bit of cleaning and stuff. And before we left, I decided, okay, I've got the night slow ultra stick. Let's get a couple flights in. So I gave her the batteries and said, here, can you charge these? That's the other thing that's nice. She knows how to charge them without having to know how to charge them. You just plug them in. So anyway, I told her to, because she was helping me pack up, she was putting one of the chargers away. And I told her to leave the other one out, ask her to put those on. And I went and, you know, got stuff set up, turned the transmitter on, found the plane and all that stuff. And we just went out, grabbed two chairs, sat at the edge of the field and just sat, flied, and talked. It was very nice. It was oh, that's me. Oddly enough.
It's always you.
It is. Sorry. Anyway, like I said, it was just the end to a great day.
That's excellent.
Yeah. I enjoyed that very much. And then came home. Didn't get home till after midnight. And now here we are.
And here we are.
I'm going back this afternoon to fly since I didn't get to yesterday.
That's great.
Yeah. It'll be a fun day.
It's a lot of traveling.
Over the last week, this will be our fourth trip over there.
Wish I had a vehicle that could make it that far.
I tell you what, I am very concerned about my truck. There is something, I don't know what, that is starting to go out, and I'm just waiting for it to go out so it can be replaced. Something on the front of the motor. Yeah, and I don't know exactly what it is, but there's something up there that, I don't know if it's alternator, I don't know, you know, steering pump, who knows, but.
I've got a 5,000-pound paperweight in my driveway now. It's been months now. The computer's back in New York.
Oh, gosh.
And they're fighting with me on it because they didn't like the way the paperwork was filled out.
Oh, come on. That's dumb.
Do not use Flagship One in New York.
Never even heard of them, but I will remember that.
So, anyway, that's my gripe. I am.
That's yeah. Dave. Dave's always got a gripe. There's something.
I have not had a vehicle since, well, I started with this computer thing. I got it on Memorial Day. It came to me. Memorial Day weekend, I got it.
Okay.
And I've been fighting with this ever since then.
It's a little over a month.
Yeah.
Month and a week or two.
Yeah. And we're not getting anywhere. The next step's the Attorney General's office. So I'm so done.
I'm sorry.
It's ruining my summer.
Yeah, well, no, I get that completely. You can't actually drive anywhere with airplanes.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I have a car. I've got the Mustang, but...
What do you fit in that?
I'm not putting the big stuff in there, and I'm getting tired of flying the little stuff. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Now, it kept you from going or coming over yesterday to the thing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it kept me from going to the open house. My travel trailer has been sitting in the driveway. It's not gone anywhere.
Yeah.
Because, once again, the Mustang's not pulling a 28-foot
truck. No. And that was the other thing. Speaking of yesterday, I completely forgot. So, they had the new Hangar 9 Hawks. I don't know if you've seen
I've seen those
yet.
They're like 120 size?
120 to 160.
Yeah, so yeah. They're good size.
They are nice airplanes. Like, they're big airplanes. Like, bigger than I really... thought. Like, I saw him at Joe and All, never really went up close and looked at him, but I had a chance yesterday. Wow.
They're
big,
sizable.
Big airplanes. Yeah.
Sizable makes price, my, too.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's all that bad. Like, yes, I get it. Maybe I'm just getting less, what's the word, more used to the prices of them. Not that I'm going to spend it on there, but seeing other airplanes that are twice that, three times that.
Well, in their size range, I mean, they are... That's the price that it is for that size range aircraft.
Yeah.
But, yeah. A little too rich for my blood.
Yeah, I think I ended up looking. It was $7,000 for everything, which included the jet, the turbine, all the servos, the receiver. I don't remember if it was batteries or not, but still. Yeah, I know it's pricey, but that's a very nice flying jet.
Yeah.
I was impressed with it. There were a lot of jets there yesterday. I love jets. Jets are fun.
Great.
Yeah. I actually went and had to go refill my fuel bottle again, so that means I'm doing something right.
So you, what, burn 5 gallons of diesel?
No, I've got a little, I've got 10 and a half or 12, no, about 11 gallons, I think. 11 gallons through it now.
Okay.
So we're getting there.
What's your time on it, do you know?
I don't. I could look because the turbine logs run time.
It keeps an eye on that.
Yeah. I'm nowhere near the rebuild time yet.
No, I know you wouldn't be.
Gosh, not yet.
Next year.
Hopefully. Wouldn't that be nice? That means I got a lot of flights.
Yeah.
Because it's 25 hours, I think. So it'll be good.
Does that count actually? Does that count like idle time too? Or is it?
That's run time.
So from the time it lights off
to the time it shuts down.
Okay. So I wasn't sure if it was over a certain throttle percentage that started counting or if it's.
No, it's actual run time because that's. I mean,
the time it spools up to time it shuts down.
Yeah. Those idle high. So there's a lot of wear and tear on bearings and that kind of stuff that you got to make sure is in spec, apparently.
All right.
But we'll get you there one day, Dave.
Yeah, I really don't think so.
I mean, that's what I said. That's what Tommy said. And now look at him. He's got two.
Yeah, Tommy's got two. Well, he's got two airframes.
Well, yeah, you're right. Not two turbines yet. But he'll get there soon.
Yeah.
Okay. You got anything else? I think I'm done. It's a light, light day.
Light show, because we're missing Tommy.
He'll be back next time.
Yeah. Nope, that's pretty much all I've got.
Cool. Well, then, thank you for listening. Next time, we'll have more to talk about. We'll actually have some more stuff done. And we'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.
All right.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the RC Plane Lab Podcast.
Oh, goodbye.
For topic suggestions, to ask questions, or to give any feedback, connect with us at rcplanelab.com or email us direct at either ron@rcplanelab.com or tom@rcplanelab.com. You can also text us or leave us a voicemail at 818-351-9846. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast app. Until next time, may your landings be gentle.
Every Lenovo is built to let them go. Let them work and rework. Let them animate a dinosaur. No, a toaster. No, a hamster in a jetpack. Fine. Let them color correct anywhere and everywhere. Let them make. Powered by Intel Core Ultra Processors, Lenovo gives creatives everything they need. Catch the best deals of the year during Lenovo's Black Friday sale. Shop now at Lenovo.com. Lenovo.